Sai Center, September 15, 2024.
Hi everyone. For today's study circle, I chose a portion of the Scotland interview. And the question is about trust. And this was actually my question, and I happened to be the one doing the interview also. And Sat has really brought trust to the forefront. And I think this is another way of looking at it that I would definitely like to understand better. So we'll watch the video, and then I have a few questions that we can discuss. Our next questioner asks, I want to trust that everything will be okay, but I have doubts. How can I fully trust? What if everything goes wrong? Can I be sure that everything will be okay?
No, everything won't be okay. As long as you have opinion what is good, what is okay, and what is not okay, it's impossible to come out of this vicious cycle. Trust meditation is not to make sure everything is okay. Trust meditation to let go of our concept of bad and good, so we can handle the situation.
In doing that, in letting go of our concept of bad and good, how does that help the situation itself?
Look at a tree that is rigid and a very strong wind comes. Even though it's a big tree, it goes down. Because it's rigid. Rigidity comes from bad and good, whereby we give an example of a tree. Now think of a young tree that is flexible, can move like Tai Chi with the wind, go here and there. The wind just moves it, right? It doesn't break it. So the more we are set in our opinion, the more rigid we are. The more we have preference that this is terrible and I have to avoid it, and this is acceptable and I have to seek it, right? We are just like a rigid old tree that is at the mercy of the wind. This is what the spirituality in the form of truth gives us, flexibility to move with the movement, rather than trying to push and pull life along.
So we're actually coming up on the anniversary of this interview. It's almost a year ago. I wanted to start by asking, how does this explanation of trust change your understanding of the trust meditation?
Well, I feel like even with the last live stream afterwards where you spoke of trust, you brought in a perspective. You said it's not like something that you trust. You don't go with the thought. You drop the thought. And it was so interesting. I was having satsang with Bliss in the Water. I said, I always struggle with this. That's so tangible for me, to not go with the thought versus going someplace to trust. So I feel that your words from last after live stream, along with this, there's this emphasis on trust that I think you're bringing to the forefront, that you want us to practice it the way it needs to be practiced. Thank you.
When I first heard of the trust meditation, the immediate thought was, I heard it, and I was thinking, I have to trust that everything is going to be fine. Everything is going to be okay. But having seen this and heard the live cast the other day, it showed some more light onto what it really means, is that not to have an opinion, not to think in a way that is either good or bad. It's just not not go with the thought.
Yeah, similar to Ahmad, for me, I think at one point my trust was trusting that the outcome that I wanted would happen. And I think the next level seems to be knowing that I don't know what is right and I don't know what outcome is actually good. And then even beyond that is not even seeing that whatever dilemma or problem that I'm having of just not recognizing that. And I think that's where I'm still struggling to understand that level of trust where I'm not seeing the pictures.
Well, you're going to have to run your own study circle on that, because when I heard this, trust meditation is not to make everything okay, I said, oh. It really was a completely different way of seeing it. And what Sat said the other night, like you said, Ida, really drove me to see that what I know as trust is just a piece of it.
So my takeaway from the afterlife stream teaching that Sat shared with us, and this is that it reminded me not everything that looks good is good, and not everything that looks bad is bad. I just don't know. And, you know, for me, I'm still going with the understanding that when I don't look at the appearances, don't go with the appearances, I am living by the grace and the perfection that ensues when I do that, mm-hmm. is the outcome that mm-hmm. has to be the best for me. And that I trust. It may not look like, you know, in the short term on the surface, maybe something against what I had planned or anticipated or whatever. But that's all memory and that's all bogus. What is good for me is the perfection that is in store for me. I don't know if I'm still not getting it, or is my understanding, is it still accurate? But that's my takeaway. That perfection is where my trust goes. And I'm open to that. That's my understanding.
For me, ever since Sat has been like emphasizing more on trust, and to my own extent, trying to like live with it more, I shared recently that I'm just so much happier. But something else that I think I'm seeing, and this feels related to it, is that whenever the bad things are happening, or they happen, they don't feel like what they used to feel like. They can't grab me, they don't get stuck on me, they don't feel like bad, they just feel like the next thing that's happened, and then there's another thing that's happening, and there's another thing, and I'm not, there's a lot less, and maybe even just right now, very little suffering with whenever bad things happen, and I'm just feels, they just feel different now. Like, you can still be happy and something not go your way.
Mm-hmm. For me, until before Sat gave me trust meditation mm-hmm. when I was pregnant, until before that, my perspective of trust mm-hmm. and surrender was different. Mm-hmm. It was more of the outcome, materialistic. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I had outcome in my mind and I wanted that. And I trusted, I used to say Namasmarana, but like with lot of tension.
Yeah.
Not like complete surrender, not in the ease, but saram, 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 I want this. But the moment you gave me trust, Sat, everything changed. I can say that I was more open-hearted. I was not, the outcome, it vanished. I was like, even anything comes, I'm protected. I'm confident that I'm under the grace and I'll be taken care of. Anything mm-hmm. happens. So that's the transition for me. And thank you, Sat.
Can I add something? I have the feeling that the more I don't go with the picture and I go with trust, the less I'm dependent on my mind and my thoughts, and the more on my intuition. And I trust my intuition more. That I've seen that in practice, and how much bit more beneficial that is for me.
One of the sentences that really, really sat on my heart deeply, and I've been concentrating, focusing, and contemplating on it, was the sentence you said in the afterlife stream. I don't want to misquote you, but you said something in the fashion of, even if it looks imperfect, see the perfection in it. And I kept just repeating that in my heart and thinking that, how do I do that? One direct relation between that for me is focusing on Divine Mother. That really, really brings that understanding and vision. And I'm still contemplating on that and working on it. But in my heart, I know that this is so big and so liberating. Mm-hmm. And I'm still trying to digest the bigness of it.
Raji, before you go to your next question, something I got is that I feel that Sachin, with the practices and what you do to us individually, you help us drop fear. And I heard you today in the FDE how you said fear is an imaginary ghost and you all know how to deal with it. And I feel like part of trust meditation, or the practice of trust, is what you've worked on us for, dropping fear. So then there's not so much of a worry or concern, will I fear this outcome? I really want this one because I don't fear this one. And I watched you all over the years, like you say, I'm not afraid of anything, and such good like role modeling that you do that I get to watch.
No, I get it. I got scared of things. I don't. My mind does and try to convince me that is not true. There is a thought of fear comes, I have a choice to go with it or not to go with it. But the most important is you all know the quality of it. There is a choice there, you know. The body will shake in a very intense moment. It's involuntarily will do what it needs to do. The nervous system will react. The thought of danger will come. But the truth is not out of reach to say that you're going to be superhuman. By no means is a superhuman. It's just discriminating little bit by little bit what is really real and what is appears to be real. And that is that comes through understanding. And your first question, the trust meditation, with your first question that some of you answered and was beautiful, I can only tell you it gets deeper and more freeing. And as you have an understanding of it and you're benefiting now, wait and see how this opens up to all-compassing reality. So the promise, as you all know, says take no thought. That alone is enlightenment. But it's guaranteeing to us, come to me. If you don't take even one of your frightening thought, I take care of you. I'm with you. So then this opens up to something greater and greater and greater. And as I see everybody's understanding, I say to myself, wait. Wait until you really get into it. And when I see a picture that is unpleasant and is bothering someone, I'm right on it with the understanding that I have of trust meditation. I won't let it go. I will not move. Do we have this ambition to stand and stand until it's proven right? One way or the other, there comes a relief. Whether it is out of the result or not result, whatever it is, there comes an okayness and wellness. I was on my silence for many, many days, and I was told that very clearly and many times that any impurity you see is not made by God. It never was. But that is something you guys have to let it unfold within yourself with dedication. If you want to know something about me, which is not having fear, I am very well versed in the fact that this world is impermanent. I don't think I forget it for a moment. And that puts everything in perspective. Even dwelling on impermanency of the life is a gift from God. Because you can't be fooled that easily. And then you begin to lose your patience for nonsense.
This metaphor that Sat uses here about the rigid tree versus the flexible young one, and how we need to let go of our concept of good and bad. I wanted to ask you guys, how do you do this practically in everyday life when you're faced with a difficult situation? How do you let go of your concept of good and bad? And some of you did touch on this in your answers already. Vijay mentioned remembering that he doesn't know Divine Mother. Does anybody want to share on how you do that? How do you let go of that concept of good and bad?
For me, it's just remembering that that is the cause of my pain, not the situation. And also it's followed by trust. But I don't know what is trust. Maybe at that moment I don't know what is trust. But I know what is this side. I have been there so many times.
For me, first of all, I have to see that rigidity. I mean, for me, this is the first step. And then I can see it in my body and in my mind. I mean, it's something that it's tangible for me. I just see that something is not going well. Even my body and my mind can testify that there is a rigidity somewhere. And then after I recognize this situation, if I am enough vigilant, then I repeat that for me that I am nobody and I don't know anything. And this sentence helps me a lot.
It helps to remember that I can't solve the problem on the level of the problem, like Sat says. So, like, I have to let go and go into silence. And or sometimes when I'm really worried, I call on Baba and I have to get out of my mind. I know at least that's true. That's all. I know that's true, and so I try that as hard as possible, and sometimes I have to use the form of the guru for that, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Hold on to those feet when you can't do anything else.
I see nowadays, any good or bad happens, I surrender it to Baba. And I am under the impression everything happens for a reason. I don't try to label bad anymore. I try to see where is my fall and what is my growth if I lose my inner peace.
I just have to be honest here. Being with Sat all these years, and the biggest attraction, one of the biggest attractions for me towards her is that you never had the concept of good and bad. And I loved it. And still living in the Maya, it comes. But just watching you and learning and constant reminder of that has been life-changing.
I think the answer is sort of similar. I don't know if this is the question anymore, but I think that having the opportunity in this lifetime to deal with really bad things happening over and over again on this path with you gives you a chance to, one, you try your tools on it. Sometimes you win, sometimes you don't. But then when you're really, really lost, you come to you and you get clarity. I'm not saying that just the end, like true, like a punch of truth that opens you, and then each one of those things that happens breaks something inside of you and gives you freedom. So every calamity is a push of freedom. So I think that is the, I can't say I'm doing anything. I think being here, good and bad, is letting go of us, or letting go of us more and more because of being able to do it with you.
Yeah, I agree that when things don't go right, even when you have a hard time practicing or remembering, now where we all are standing is an incredible opportunity that happens to us, because immediately when we begin to come out of it, like I always say, the taste is so ugly that it pushes you to another level that you were not before. But answer to your question, good and bad, we're getting wiser. That's what is happening to all of us. We're getting wiser. Why? Because I always say for now. Why? Because I know everything changes. When everything changes, the labels changes too. In other words, you can have a friend that is really good and then is really bad. You can have a house that you really love and then you hate. It's a very unreliable ground to stand on, right? It's not like you decide not to see bad and good. You rise above it through your knowledge, through your understanding. You say, for now, it looks like that. Tomorrow it could be looking like that. And again, we go back to being impermanent. It's a very big, big, important thing to remember. Baba says, never forget death and never forget this and that. I would say this is what it is meant. Never forget that what we are experiencing is changeable and is not as stable. But there is a ground that is so stable and so permanent and so reassuring. And all we are doing is shift our standing from impermanent onto permanent. And that takes time, that takes understanding, that takes practice. What is the practice? Contemplating on what is not lasting and not giving it too much attention and trusting the ground that is stable. Trust can go two ways. If you let go of your anxiety, you're already sitting under trust. Let go of your anxiety, just sit under trust. That goes. Why? Because you cannot be in changing and also standing unchangeable. Right? So we are getting smart finally. We're saying, listen, I don't want to come back and as a soul reincarnate with the stupidity. At least let me come a little bit wiser. We are not only finding more peace in this lifetime, but hopefully, if God forbidden, we land in these realms, this is the only part that you will not forget, because it's a transformation. It is not a temporary change. What happens to us in our consciousness is not temporary. It's removal of the false. So this is the worth of a spiritual path or having a guru. Of course, I'm not a guru, by the way. I'm just sharing what comes out of me. So, yeah, here you have it. Definitely I'm not a guru. I don't know what I am. But we are all in the same boat, going through eternity from chaos. So long, my friend. We're going forward. And it's all about consciousness being not beholding temporary too much or beholding an impurity.
Can I just say one thing? I feel like nothing can ever be or feel really, 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 really bad. Because deep down inside, I'm so taken by the fact that I have you. So that nothing can...
Yes,
can,
but you, what you have is temporary. This body will perish. I'm telling you that what you have is greater than what I can give you. You're lucky you have me temporary. This is in the category of temporariness. But what you have is eternal. Don't get upset. And that is the truth. I can't talk of impermanence and tell you, yes, you have me, you would lucky bastard. No. One day we all have to meet as one. But at the same time, we cannot deny that I'm glad Baba graced us with this room and he's talking through me. We can't deny that. I agree with that. But to say this is the source of your joy permanently, no. It won't be. Sorry.
I feel like this key that you've given us to trust is so monumental, like,
yeah,
it's like moving mountains.
Yes,
it's so huge.
I have to remind us again and again, trust is ancient. It is the existence, the pure existence, the all-knowing. Again, I have to remind us that in the time of Jesus came out, this trust, this promise, when he said, don't take thought where you go, what you do. And they didn't complete it because I'm sure he elaborated on it, or at least he put it in a parable that perhaps I don't know. But that's what he was referring to. That the mind does not, as they were saying, the enlightened soul said, the mind, Ramana says, the mind doesn't even exist, it's only thoughts. Most Precious says, there is no mind but bundle of thoughts. What are the thoughts? Belief system, acceptance, right? So by releasing little by little, we're sitting on a promise. Why would he say, don't take thought? Instead of saying, think and make sure you are doing the right thing. He says, don't take thought. Okay, who's going to take a thought for my life? Ah, the promise will. And it has all our lives. Since we enter the realms of holiness, your life has changed. Yours has. You have. With your beautiful parents that raised you properly with Baba's thing, who can say has not been touched by the wisdom, ancient wisdom? We all have. And that is the grace of Guru. To sit here and to use each of us as an instrument. Mine this way, yours that way, this one this way. I was praising some of the community today. I said, you guys are a blessing in my life. Because each person has been an instrument of divine love for each other, all of us. Look at what is happening here.
I don't know whether it's the right forum to ask this question. I found where I'm heading towards. Because when I asked for the answers and I got the answers, but I don't know where the uncertainty of the future, and that is not related to the impermanent world, it's related to the permanent world. But I know when is the right time, Baba is going to show me that. But I see sometimes I couldn't wait for the time and I'm just keep chasing behind that. How can I stop that chasing behind my permanent world of what is going to happen next? It's not about worries, not about thoughts, because of the thing I have seen.
So you're convinced by this thought, what's going to happen in future? Have you questioned this thought? Have you turned around and said to this thought, where do you come from and what are you trying to say? Or you just want to worry the thinker?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So you are following it instead of turning around and saying, where do you come from? Which is going to take you to silence. And why are you harassing me? It comes back to you for listening to it. And then you stay. You stay on the promise and take no thought. This is the subject of the whole night. Practice, practice, practice. You can't be obedient to this suggestion and then go after a remedy. You just don't be obedient to this suggestion. Then you don't need remedy. Like Adrienne was saying, I don't want to solve the problem on the level of problem. Because if you question the problem, it won't be there.